You know, I went to the dentist this week, and the doctor comes in and he's all covered up, but he was walking pretty straight. And I'm thinking, oh, that doesn't look like Dr. Salome. Salome's all bent up. And it was his son, whom I have known forever. And I couldn't figure it out. I'm thinking, is there somebody else in the practice? I mean, who's this guy? Because all I could see was just this. So, well, it's great to see you all. And of course, all of you that are watching us online, thank you so much for being so faithful and continuing to watch this service. That it's, regardless where you are, whether you're here or at home, or even on vacation, our souls come together and we come together for worship. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, may nothing separate us from you today. Teach us how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead us closer to you. Help us walk by the word and not our feelings. Help us to keep our heart pure and undivided. Protect us from our own carelessness thoughts, words, and actions, and keep us from being distracted by our wants, our desires, our thoughts on how things should be. Help us to embrace what comes our way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help us to resist the truth of Psalms 86 and 13. Let's make this our very own. Let's remember it all day long. It says, great is your love towards us. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. I haven't seen you guys all summer.
That's because we
haven't been here. Oh, well, no wonder I haven't seen you. Yeah, this is so neat to start back again. I was ready. Were you guys ready? I'm ready to get back. So welcome today. Announcements. Let's see. Karen has an announcement somewhere. There she is in the back.
Just want to let you know that we were trying to.
Loud!
What?
You loud. Might need to come up here, Karen.
Can't hear you.
I mean,
I'm a back seat.
Sorry about that. Just FYI, we were trying to do a going away for Pastor Francis, and the village has told us, no, we can't meet in the park. So there is a basket back in the back, and if you would, from now, the 21st is her last Sunday, if you want to give any kind of salutations, good wishes, cards, whatever, letter, whatever you want to put back there, it is back there and will continue to stay until she leaves. So I know that well wishes are something we need to do for her future and let her know we love her.
Okay, the other thing is if you have prayer requests, put it on, use your little yellow slip, and as you leave the church, you can put your prayer request as well as your offering at the back of the church. Now, are there any other announcements by anybody? Okay, so I've told you guys that. So we have our opening music, Blessed Be Your Mighty Name.
Blessed be your glorious name, blessed be.
Okay, if you all would like to stand for the call to worship. The God who speaks comfort to us calls us here. The God who addresses us with tenderness meets us here. The God who guides us with gentleness cares for us here. We come to ready ourselves for the transformation of our lives. For the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it. Amen. And the Apostles' Creed is found on page 881. I believe in God. You may be seated. The prayer of confession, which is found in your bulletin, will read in unison, please. God of grace, we bring to you our ingratitude for all that you've done for us, our impatience when prayers seem to be ignored, and our selfishness when prompted to give or share, our unfaithfulness when wandering from your way. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Declaration of forgiveness. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. Amen. Please stand for God's word, after which you may be seated.
The scripture today comes from Matthew 17:20. And it reads, he replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. It was in the mountain where Jesus revealed his divine glory to Peter, James, and John. The four had just rejoined the rest of the disciples as the ever-present, clamoring, curious, constantly needing crowd when a desperate father threw himself before Jesus and pleaded. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. Matthew 17, 15 and 16. Jesus' response must have caught everyone by surprise. He said, "Oh, faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him over here to me." Matthew 17, 17. Church, those are piercing words. You can almost see the impotent, humble disciples casting shame glances at each other. I figure that they must be thinking, did you do it right? Did you do it right? I did it right. It must have been you guys. The afflicted boy was brought to Jesus, whose omnipotent word soon dispatched both demon and disease. But who was Jesus calling faithless? These words were aimed at the disciples, at the crowd, at Israel, at the word, at the world, and at us here today. Do you know that little faith can result in an unfinished purpose, a dream that turns just into an illusion, a check never cashed, a ministry failure? The disciples at that moment were counted among the faithless. So can we be. Our faithlessness is the worst part of our willfulness. More accurately, our lack of faith in God is the root of all our sins. But were the disciples really faithless? After all, they had tried to cast out the demon and disease. Wasn't that faith? When we pray, don't we pray with faith? Perhaps, but whatever faith was present, while apparently well-meaning, didn't produce any results. The same thing sometimes happens to us. It didn't put God's glory and power on display. It didn't proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God, and it didn't help the boy or the father. That is why Jesus didn't commend their efforts. Instead, went after their failures. Later, when the disciples privately asked Jesus why they had failed, his explanation was direct and to the point. He said, "Because of your little faith." Matthew 17, 20. It's hard for us who are children of God, who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, who has walked this faith journey for many years, to think that our faith could be little. But here is the thing. When we pray outside of God's will, our faith is very little. This was an unnerving answer. Jesus did not speak of God's mysterious will in choosing to answer at the time the disciples asked. Jesus put the blame squarely on the disciples' shoulder. Their ministry failure was due to their little faith. This account is included in the scriptural canon in part to make us squirm and to force us to ask the same soul-searching question over our own unanswered prayers that the disciples were forced to ask about themselves. Why could we not? And each one of you can fill the blank. Why did I pray for this to come to be and it didn't? Why did I pray for this person to survive the accident and it didn't? Why did this other person die so young? For me, it was a particular case of a child that was drowned on Mother's Day. The whole week, I just could not let it go, and I just felt that prayer and prayer and prayer. And finally, the child passed away. The parents decided to disconnect him and he passed away. And I wonder myself, didn't I have enough faith? After all, you know, I am the minister of congregational care. Well, you know, didn't I have enough faith? Didn't the parents have enough faith? But sometimes we have to accept that people come into our lives for a time and a season. And then they depart. God always has a reason. And his reason is never, never, ever to hurt us, even though that it causes pain. But it's not his desire to hurt us. Of course, not every unanswered prayer for healing, provision, conversion is a result of little faith. But we must not let ourselves off the hook too quickly when we don't see prayers answer or when our ministry efforts fail. Yes, God is sovereign. And in this narrative, the sovereign God makes a clear statement. Little faith can't result in unanswered prayers. But like all of Jesus' rebukes to his disciples, his rebuke is not intended to condemn them or to condemn us now, but to exhort us to press in farther. If we currently have little faith, is it possible for us to have more faith? If we fail yesterday or today, we don't have to continue to fail as we go forward. Little faith is not a permanent label. It's not where we are designed to be. Jesus means it as a catalyst for our transformation, for this is what followed up in this verse when he said, "For truly I tell you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Matthew 17:20. Those are not empty words. That phrase is a check that you can cash. It is a promise that you can claim. How would you live differently if you really believe that nothing would be impossible for you? That you could come to the Lord and pray an asking prayer and have your prayer answered the way you want it to be answered. Wouldn't that be awesome? But if it's anything like one time when I asked God for the gift of healing, the answer that I heard in my spirit was this, and I kid you not, I was dealing with so many people that, you know, with in hospice that, oh no, I would have healed everybody. You know, we would have overpopulated immediately because I just, you know, couldn't let everybody go. So there is always that thing, that something inside of us that want to stop the pain, to stop the hurt, to be liked, to do good, and it doesn't always fall within the will of God. Don't let cynicism step all over that question also. Our lightning, quick and loud unbelief, it is not commendable. It is perverse, it is twisted. It robs us of more than we know. When we pray, when we ask God for an answer in prayer, you cannot be from the very beginning having a plan B. It doesn't work like that. You only have a plan A. You can't say, well, you know, then Lord, if just in case he says no, let's go ahead and prepare here. No, that's little faith. When contemplating such a question, it can be tempting for some of us, to quickly point to the errors of the word of faith and reaffirm that we're not going to fall in that ditch. And that is good. But somehow, you know, when we think we're just doing just right, boom, we go down. We should not, but what does not excuse us to live at peace with little faith and impotence in our everyday life in the kingdom of God is the fact that if we believe God, why don't we believe his word? You know, and I have found that a lot of people believe in God, but don't believe God. When you read the Bible, you're thinking, well, yeah, this happened then, you know, and this was a blessing for them. We're not living at those times, you know. There is no sheep here in the, well, there is down there, but not here, you know. So we cannot really relate to the moment the way that is expressed in the Bible. But if you take those things out, the Bible today speaks to you directly. And it speaks to you about your situation. And it might not give you the answer that you want, but I can tell you one thing, that it will hold you up until you can stand. We are meant to move mountains, to see the impossible occur through the exercise of faith in the omnipotent promises of our sovereign Lord. A lot of people say that there are no miracles done anymore, you know, like in the old days. There's so many miracles that God did at that time and did it directly with the people. Jesus has chosen to answer your prayers by engaging other people around you. That is the way he does ministry. So sometimes when you discover that you have a health situation that it seems impossible, and then somebody recommends, or you go to this doctor and they're going to try you, put you on a study and this and that, and then it works. People sometimes don't consider that the miracle was done through the hands of that doctor with the brain that God gave them, with the opportunity to go to school, with the teachers that were brought into the medical school. All of that had been put in motion to grant you the gift of time. And even when it's not possible to grant you the gift of time, it is possible for others to have it. And it wasn't given to you because, like the hairs on your head, so are your days numbered. We don't live past our time. And we don't die ahead of it either. So if we're not seeing mountains move, we're living beneath our means. We're living as paupers. When we have millions in our heavenly bank account, Jesus doesn't commend this. He rebukes it. He's constantly telling us, come to me. Tell me what's wrong. You know, how do you feel? You know, come to me. And somehow we all take the detour. Kind of like we go hiking before we, you know, really come and just get on our knees and say, hey, this is happening from the very, very beginning. The faith of God's people is the channel through which God chooses to manifest much of his glory that results in the conversion of unbelievers. If we have little faith, then little glory is seen through us. We must not be content with this. Everybody here has a miracle in their story. Every one of you have a miracle in your story. You might not think of it like that. You might not even remember it at this moment. But every one of you have a miracle in you already. The fact that you were chosen for salvation. That's the first miracle that was given to you. And then I'm sure that God has opened the door for you on many other things as you go through your faith journey. If we recognize that we have little faith, let us repent today and join the disciples in pleading like Luke did in Luke 17 and 5 when he said, Lord, increase our faith. And don't let God go until he blesses you with an answer. This is a request he loves to grant. If you feel that you're not where you should be with your faith, that when you're praying, you're still kind of like, if not creating a plan B, attempted to create a plan B, flat out ask him, Lord, I need you to increase my faith. I need you to hold me through to your word. And then you go to the Bible and you find those stories that you know that are speaking to you and to your circumstances at the moment. And let those stories encourage you and fill you with faith. Jesus really does mean for us to move mountains. He wants us to live in the bold joy of knowing that nothing is impossible for us. Having said this, can we really have enough faith to have our will be done instead of Christ? Because I think that sometimes this is our biggest problem. That we tell God we need a miracle and it has to be in a pink dress or a blue shirt. It has to be 5 acres. It needs to be a red car, you know. We tell him, you know, instead of asking him, this is my need, and you have promised to supply for my needs. I'm waiting, you know. We tend to tell him how to do it and what to do. Yes, at times, God can let you have your way, but even then, your will is being done because it is Christ's will that you learn a lesson by giving you what you think is best instead of what he knows that is best for you. We all know the saying, be careful what you pray for, you might get it. So what lesson can Jesus be trying to teach us today? Well, one is that he is God. All power, all majesty, all riches, all knowledge and glory is his. And you're not God. Two, our lives is like a train. We can see the first few wagons, but not the whole train. We will not know what the train is pulling until it is on top of us. But by that time, it can. And if you are outside the will of God, it will be too late. We will never, on our own, be able to stop a moving train. Three, we don't always know what is best for us. So we pray according to our will and fail to search the scriptures and find what it is, his perfect will for his people. Church, Christ clearly tells you in John 1, 5, 14, and 15, he says, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Let me put it in another word. When we pray for the church, we want people to come. We want the pews to be filled. You know, we want a heavenly choir 2 times the size. You know, we just want everything filled. You know, we want to be the biggest, the best. You know, the one with the greatest word. And, you know, my goodness, this is what we want. That's not what God wants. The first thing is that if you're not a healthy church, he's not going to bring sick people here to make them sicker. That's the first thing. And the bottom line is that God is not looking to fill the pews. He's looking to save the souls. So when you pray for your church, when you pray for your legacy here in the mountain, in your faith, ask God to show you the lost souls that are around you. To initiate a divine appointment. For the Holy Spirit to alert you when is that person the one that needs to hear your story. That is a prayer that God will answer. And it is like that with everything that you pray for. We all want healing. There's many ways of being healed. The maximum way of being healed is when God takes you home. The thing is that it's too painful for us to let go of the people that we love. Doesn't matter the age, it's just too painful. But then after some time have passed and we see how the world continues to twirl and squirms and things that happen, and we can look back and say, but at least my loved one is with Christ. For me and my children is, we very often, very, very often talk of, my husband was a diabetic, an adult diabetic, and we cook certain things, Cuban things, that he had to be restricted on. So he would say, I just need to increase my pills so that I can eat more dessert. So see, that's how it works. You increase your medication and you can eat more. No, it doesn't. But when he died within 3 days, when we think of him, what brings all of my children and me comfort is to know that right now he is with Christ. That he is with someone that has loved him since the beginning of time. And then after we think of that, we think that he's fishing somewhere in heaven. You know, and nobody is watching him. And then he goes, you know, walking, and he didn't want to take us girls because we talk too much. And, you know, so he's just, you know, so free and so content. That gives us healing with the lost that we also feel. So we're all gonna have that. We're all gonna find a way in the word of the Lord. So that is the confidence that we have, that when we pray according to his perfect will, he will answer. The only way that you will not God's will is by going to the Bible. And I promise you that whatever you're asking, his will is written there. In closing, you will not have a mustard seed of faith if you don't trust the word of God, especially when he tells you no. Oh, it can hurt. The pain of the no can bring you to your knees and take your breath away. It can make you think that life is over and make you wish it was. It can make you look for a yes in all the wrong places. But when you hear no, and between your pain and your tears, you can barely just murmur, Lord, let your will be done in my life as your perfect will is done in heaven. You will know your mustard seed of faith has just moved the mountain in front of you. It has moved the mountain of sorrow and despair to the side. And God is making a way to heal your heart and bring you through. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Master of us all, keep us standing firm in the truth of God's word that has been delivered to us by our Father in heaven, and keep us steadfast and true to all that we have learned of your grace and mercy. May our lives demonstrate an ever-deepening love for you. May we stand in the power of faith in a mustard seed until that glorious day when we are taken to be with you in heaven. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Get ready to go and start another week. continue to be in your safe place, continue to be healthy. Everything is kind of opening up a little bit of at a time. Our Bible studies are back on. We hope that as things progress and they get better, more of our regulars will start coming back to church, but I know that they're watching, so we extend a blessing for them also. Now receive this blessing from the Lord. You are meant to move mountains. You are meant to testify of God's love and grace. Plant your mustard seed and see it grow. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.
Lord, we proclaim your majesty, your glory. We declare in this place that you reign. We will proclaim.
We will proclaim all we've seen and we've heard. The truth that's revealed by your Spirit and Word. Your marvelous deeds, all your glory and fame. We will proclaim. The captive must know there's a way to be free. The mind that is blinded can be made to see. The sick will be healed, there is hope for the lame. We will proclaim splendor and
bless you all.